Yes. Amen. Thank you. Okay, we've been trying to introduce the book of Genesis and the Bible as a whole. And by the time we get through the introduction, it's going to be so long, you're going to think it was 10 years. But it's a big book. There's a lot of good lessons. In the first three chapters of Genesis, there's lots and lots of lessons, and I hope we get them. I hope we get them. I hope I get them in my heart. Now, today we want to look at Genesis. Back to Genesis again. If you remember, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, we watched a DVD, a film, and Ray Comfort was interviewing evolutionists, doctors, and professors at state-approved universities, and interviewing students. And one of my favorites was the evolutionist Gail Kennedy, and she said, "The trouble with you creationists." Now, by the way, that's you if you don't know it. I hope that's you. Creationist is one that believes in the beginning God created.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's me.
Yeah.
I hope that's you, but that's me.
That's me.
Now, you don't have to go that route. It's America. And they don't like to use the word God or name God unless it's a byword. They'll do that. So they say creationists. They don't say Bible believers or Christians. And then sometimes they'll talk about intelligent design, impersonal. But God's a person. And He's the creator God. And that's what we're studying. And she said, the trouble with you creationists is you do not have enough imagination. That's what she said. State approved biologist, doctor, PhD. And what she really said was, to believe in evolution, you have to imagine it. Because it's not real. If you had a real good imagination, you'd believe in evolution. But see, I don't. I'm just going to go with, in the beginning, God created. That's just what I'm going to go with. I'm not very smart. But that's what she said. Let me ask, don't answer out loud, don't raise your hand, but were the experts what you expected?
Yes.
Yeah. How about the students? We heard the students say, I'll trust the experts and the textbooks. What they're saying is they're going to trust man.
Right.
And the man-made books. I'm going to go ahead with the Word of God, and I'm going to trust the God that wrote it is what I'm going to do. I'm not really interested in those imaginations. Matter of fact, I looked up imagination. I looked up imaginations, imagineth is what you got in the Bible, and it's only in there 36 times. And every time but one is bad. If you remember 2 Corinthians 10:5 was our memory verse for a while. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God.
Right.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, we have the mind of Christ, and one reason I read the Bible every day, I need my mind to match His mind.
Amen.
I don't need any imaginations. Let's look at some verses and prove that. Matter of fact, this imagination, it's like a theory. And I looked up theory yesterday. I got to thinking about that. A theory is inferred from principles established on independent evidence. Remember when Ray Comfort was interviewing him, he kept saying, do you have any observable evidence that I could see evolution? And there's not any. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you, they're never going to find the missing link because there is no missing link.
Right.
They imagine that. That's a fairy tale. That's not real.
Right.
Thank you. At least one believes. There is no missing link. It's a fairy tale. It's an imagination. It's a theory. It's speculation. It's guesses. It's opinions. It's ideas. And it's schemes. It's schemes. I didn't read the book, but they say Darwin's book is full of maybes, might have been, perhaps, what ifs, stuff like that. Well, that's not what this is. God was there and He wrote it down.
Yeah.
And you can count on it. You can depend on it. You can trust your Bible.
Yeah.
Let's look at some verses. Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, I'm talking about evolution right now today. I know there's other wicked imaginations, but every imagination of the thoughts of the heart's only evil continually. See, it's evil if I know that God said in the beginning God created, and I say, no, He didn't. There's a big bang.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That's evil. That's wicked.
Yes, it is.
Genesis 8:21. And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Do you remember that? I remember that. I remember as a youth. I had the best parents in the world, but I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm wicked.
Yeah.
From a youth, I was wicked.
Me too.
I had evil imagination. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Jeremiah, he had a lot to say about it. 7:24. But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You want to go with imaginations like Dr. Gail Kennedy did, you're going to be going backwards. You're not going to be going forward. That's what the Bible says. It says it's evil and wicked. Jeremiah 9:13. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law. See, my imagination is the opposite of this. My heart's the opposite of this. My mind's the opposite of this. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein. But here's what they did. But have walked in the imagination of their own heart and imagined that God didn't create everything and that there was a big bang and something came out of nothing. And after Balaam, which their fathers taught them, Jeremiah 11:8, yet they obeyed not nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone. You don't have to raise your hand on this. I know that everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. Jeremiah 13:10. This may be our new memory verse. It'll be a great memory verse one day. I'm sorry, it's in that. This will be a good. Oh, they're all good. Jeremiah 13:10. This evil people, Which one's that, Brother Rick? Well, that's me and that's you. Which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods and serve them, to worship them, and shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. You remember the Lord had Jeremiah to bury a girdle in a cave, and then a few months later he had him go back and dig it up. He said, this is my people. They're good for nothing. Just like this girdle's rotten, it's good for nothing. I started with my sister-in-law. If y'all know her, her parents didn't give her a salary or nothing or allowance. They didn't pay her to be good. She's just good for nothing. If you can tell her I said that. Jeremiah 16:12. Here's the one I think would make a memory verse, good memory verse. And ye have done worse than your fathers. Amen. For behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart. Why? Why would I do that, Brother Rick? Well, God tells us right here that ye may not hearken unto me. See, that's why the evolutionists, that's why the doctors want this, because if not, they're going to have to hearken to him. They're going to have an authority. If evolution's true, there's no authority and there's no morals. Just do whatever you want to. Live however you want to. We were reminded again the other day, the new morality is the old immorality. It's what it is. And that's the result of evolution. And if you believe you come from an animal, keep teaching your kids they come from an animal, they're going to act like it. We're seeing that. We're seeing that today. Let me start over on that. That's a great verse. And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart. Why? That they may not hearken unto me. Verse 12. And they said, there is no hope. They even know there's no hope. Those on the interview, they know there's no hope. But in spite of everything, we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. Evolution is what Ray kept calling it. Proverbs 6:16 says these six things that the Lord hate. And number 4 is down in verse 18. It says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift in running to mischief. Evolutionist Gail Kennedy, PhD in biology, said, the trouble with you creationists is you do not have enough imagination. I'm going to go ahead and go with what the Lord said. We'll X that off there. Now, let's go back. That was Genesis. Let's look at the Bible now. We're trying to introduce Genesis and the Bible. This is on your handout now. And I want us to know, number one, that the Bible is verbally inspired. God dictated the Bible to the writers, the 40 writers over 1,500 years, like a boss would dictate a letter to a secretary. Verbal inspiration. And the word inspiration means God breathed. God breathed it. He breathed the words he wanted us to know, and he had the writers write it down for him. Let's look at some of them. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it or just the originals? All of it. Now, we've been through that a few times in here. No, we're not just talking about the originals. The originals are gone. The church read them up. But we've seen over and over again that a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy is Scripture too. That's what it's called in the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you have an exact copy of the originals on your lap. I hope that's what you've got. I hope it is. That's what I've got right here. An exact copy of the originals. You don't need the originals. They'll never find them. It's like the missing link. The church read them up, used them up till they crumbled. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Been many sermons on that. Let's go to Exodus 24:3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord. The Lord breathed to him the words he wanted Moses to write down, and he wrote them down. You believe it's all the words of the Lord? Is that what he did? Is that it? Yeah, amen. And all the judgments and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. See, God breathed the words and Moses wrote them down. Now, some believe that some of the words in here are bad words and ought not to be in there. And I can mark them out. And the Bible's only inspired in spots. And they just happen to know where the spots are. And some of the words God didn't get in there and you need to add them. And some verses God didn't aim to put that in there. And it'll be the same thing if you mark that verse out. If you believe that God put bad words in there, then you believe God had bad breath.
Yeah.
Let me just go ahead and tell you, he didn't have bad breath. He breathed the exact words he wanted in here. Moses wrote them down. In the first five books, Moses wrote them down. Isaiah, he wrote them down too. Isaiah 51:16, he said, The Lord said, I have put my words in thy mouth. Not his thoughts. God didn't put down his thoughts. He put down his words. He told Isaiah to write down these words, not my thoughts. It's not the same thing if you change the sentence or the verse. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word, this is God talking, be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it, my word, God's word, shall accomplish that which I please. And it, the word of God, shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It's on your lap this morning. Jeremiah 30:1. The word which came into Jeremiah from the Lord, the big Lord, the capital Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. That's what my King James Bible says. That's what the Lord said. Not only is the Word of God inspired. Not only did God breathe it. Not only did He dictate each word like a boss to a secretary. You know, if I was a secretary and copied a letter, I don't think the boss would like it if I went in there and changed a word here and there. And say, you messed up. It's not the whole, I'm going to put down 75%. I know you said 50%, but it should be 75%, boss. I'm going to change that. No, I don't think that's going to work very good. I think I'm going to be looking for a job. Not only that, not only is the Bible verbally inspired, each and every word God breathed it, it's infallible. What's a big word, Brother Rick? What's infallible mean? That means God's never wrong.
Right. Amen.
Rick's wrong all the time, every day. Rick's wrong. God's not. The Word of God is infallible. He could write no other. It's never wrong. The Bible's never wrong.
Right.
John 10:35, and if ye call them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. Do you believe that? That the Scripture cannot be broken? It's a scientific fact. The Scripture cannot be broken. It's a theological fact. It's a Bible fact. God's Word is infallible. It cannot be broken. It's never wrong. The Bible's never wrong. I'm wrong many times, many ways, many different ways. We've talked about that true-false question. There's many ways for a true-false question to be false. But it's only true one way.
Right.
It can be false with the date, with the punctuation, with the spelling, with the place, with the time. But not the Bible. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that they might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Well, if I need every word to live, the Lord made sure I got it.
Yeah, amen.
It's around here somewhere. He said, it's never wrong and I can trust it. You can trust your Bible.
Yeah.
We hear it almost every Thursday night, sometimes many times. And if he never did say it, if John Yates never did say it, you can still trust your Bible.
Yeah.
Matthew 4:4, it came out of Deuteronomy. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not by bread alone, live by every word. Not bread alone, live by every word. Luke 4:4, almost the same. Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not bread only, but by every word is what Brother Rick needs or he's going to die. Not live by bread alone. Jeremiah 1:9, then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And those words are infallible. They're never wrong. They're never wrong. 2 Samuel 23:2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. His infallible word, His word that cannot be broken, His word that's never wrong, just like God's never wrong. The evolutionist might be, Rick is, but God never is, and His word never is.
That is right.
Ezekiel 3:4. And He said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, speak with my words unto them. Infallible words, words that are never wrong, they'll never be broken. And then, not only is the Word of God infallible, not only is it, did God breathe it, inspire it, but the Word of, He promised, God promised to preserve His Word. Wouldn't do much good to inspire it if He didn't keep it around here for us. He promised to preserve His Word. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's here. Now it's also in heaven. Psalm 119 says it's recorded in heaven, but that's not all. It's here. It's here. Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. Well, if that's true, do you reckon that's true?
Yes, sir.
Well, then it's here somewhere.
Yes.
It's here somewhere. I hope it's on your lap. I hope it's on your lap. Luke 16:17, and it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. See, it's infallible. It can't fail. It's perfect. It can't be broken. And it's here. It's here. He promised to preserve it.
Yes, amen.
And it's here. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Those pure words, that thing's been salted down. This week, the grandkids, they salted down some deer. They want to preserve that thing. This word is salt. It's been salted down. It's preserved. It can't rot because it's pure. There's nothing in it. It really didn't need salted down. There's nothing in it to rot anyway. It's pure.
Right.
The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The silversmith, he'd heat that silver in that big old cauldron, that pot, and he'd take the ladle and drip, get the dross off of there, and throw the dross away in the pile that's good for nothing. And every time he did that, do it seven times maybe. And it'd get more pure, more pure, more pure. That's the way the Word of God's been done. There was six attempts at an English Bible by individuals like Tyndale, Matthews, and Wycliffe. There was a great Bible. Six attempts at an English Bible in the 1500s. Before 1611, and then the Lord put 54 men in a group, divided them up into three groups. Each man, they had a third of a Bible each, and they went through it for 2 years, and then they traded parts of the Bible, and they went through it again for 2 years, they traded again two more years, then they all got together the seventh year, some of them had died off, it's down to 47 men now. I'm talking about men that studied the Bible. I'm talking about men that never saw a commercial, never watched the Mayberry, never watched a ball game, they studied the Bible, and God used them to translate. To translate us a Bible in our language so it would be a useful tool. So it was translated. Have you been translated? People are translated. I remember when I was unuseful. Now every once in a while I get to drive a bus or something. I get to do something. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. And then since then, I just left the paper on my desk back there. It's a different lesson. But this has been edited six times. And this is the seventh. They didn't change any words. They didn't add any words. They didn't take any words out. They changed some spellings from F's to S's. From U's to U's and V's used to be the same thing. They added chapter divisions, verse divisions, but did not change one word. Not one word. Been edited seven times. Let me start over. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. See, I'm not preserving them. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. David's writing it down. And he said, Lord, starting right now with my generation, from now on there's going to be a Bible. You're going to preserve it for us. He did that for us. The seventh edition of the seventh attempt at an English Bible. Psalm 100. You can trust your Bible, by the way, if I didn't say that. Psalm 119, 152. Concerning thy testimonies, the word of God, I've known of old that thou hast founded them forever. That's what the Lord said. He preserved them. He kept them around. So you'd have a personal love letter from heaven. So you'd know it was true. If I told you, if this was Latin, and I said, you can't understand it anyway, I'll read it and I'll tell you what it means. Wouldn't quite be the same thing. No. You have a Bible in English. God did it that way on purpose. He preserved it on purpose so you'd have one. A lot of people died so me and you would have a Bible. The Lord died so we'd go to heaven. A lot of people died so we'd have a Bible.
Yes,
amen. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning.
Yes, it is.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to go with.
Yes, amen.
In the beginning, God created. That's what I'm going to go with. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
Amen.
It's here somewhere. If the Bible's true, His Word's here somewhere. He preserved it. It's on your lap. You don't have to go looking for it. The Bible says, search the Scriptures, not search for them. They're on your lap. They're here. You can trust them. You can depend on them. You can rely on them. You can take them to the bank. The Lord will not fail, and His Word won't either. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Amen.
Well, then they're here somewhere. If that verse is true, if the Bible's true, the word of God's here somewhere.
The Bible's true.
It's here.
Yeah.
It's here, yes. Psalm 1, or Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Again, it can't rot.
Right. Yeah.
It can't rot.
Yeah.
It's pure. Now, let's look at it specifically in Genesis and see how it applies to Genesis. Luke 16. And they said unto him, he said unto them, is this red letters in your Bible? He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Moses, God breathed to Moses the words in the first five books of the Bible.
Right.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Jesus said, if you don't believe those, you won't be persuaded if one rose from the dead.
Right.
That's not all. Chapter 24, Luke 24, 25. You understand there's no hope in evolution. They have no, you know, there's no fall in evolution. Man didn't fall. You know, there's no sin in evolution. Doesn't need an answer. There is none. There is none. Luke 24, 25. Just red letters in your Bible. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer. You believe it all.
Yes,
it'll be a lot more fun if you do.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and tell you. It's just like the rifleman. It's going to be a lot more fun if you believe it all. How about John 5? John 5:45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. 46. For had you believed Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, in particular, in the beginning God created. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. for he wrote of me. See, I'm going to need to believe Moses first, I think. Verse 47. But if you believe not his writings, Genesis chapter 1 in particular, verse 1 in particular, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?
Right.
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good.
Just as good as ever I've heard.
Three
as good as ever I've read about.
3 pages of verse. Yeah. Couldn't give it all away.
If I was going to give stars and ribbons, that's what I would do to you today. Gotcha.
3 pages of verse.
I want you to know that.
Thank you. That's what I'm singing this morning, so I'm trying to find a song to sing. Like Larry Mullen says.
Said she wasn't feeling too well this morning. I think she wanted to get out of bed, that's what it was.
Well, I understand it.
She asked me where he's at. I said, well, I assume he's downstairs, but he's not up here. Then about the time Emily got up, I said, right there's his wife. Ask him where she's
at. Oh, okay, that's what that came from. Came from.
Don't let it get to you.
You still thinking about that?